If you'd open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12, please. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'd like to begin this evening, and I'd like to read, starting at verse 7, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee over Israel, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, Behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them to thy neighbors, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also has put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that we would have this time to come together as this church that you've called out. Father, we thank you that you would put your word in our hands this evening, and you would give us this place and a time that we might share it. Father, I would thank you that you would bring these many folks here. I pray that you have prepared them, that you have opened their ears and their minds, and most of all their heart to your word. And Father, I ask so humbly that tonight you would use me to bring your message. Father, I thank you that you would reach out and save me and give me an opportunity to preach your word. I pray that you would be glorified in these things that we do. Father, I pray this with all my heart and for these people. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it is a good time for an amen. I have to warn you something first. I move around an awful lot, and I get excited. I was saved in the spring of 76 while I was in the Catholic seminary. And that ought to be about one of the strangest places you'd find a fellow getting saved. And this is going to be great the way I move around. You all sit back in them poles. We're going to be able to see each other all night, or else you're going to get tired going this way. But I was saved by reading the Word of God. And then God sent some people along, but first he sent me out in the desert like he did with Moses. So I figured I was in good company, although it wasn't the best place to be. I could learn a lot of things, and many times he says to me, you got some more things to learn. And one of the silliest things I did when I was saved is that I prayed to God. I asked him to fix the life that I had messed up and ruined with sin. And I said to him, Lord, if you would lead, I'll follow. What a dumb thing to do. The first thing you do when you get saved is give him lordship of your life. My, what a thing to do. I'm glad I did that. A lot of folks get stuck in that struggle, don't we? We get stuck in that, they ain't going to tell me what to do. Can I tell you, he took me to a place where I didn't know what to do. That's probably the only way you could get through my head. Get me to some place where I didn't know what to do, how I could do anything, just anything. I mean, I was done. I was at the end. I was right there where God would have a person to be. I was right there. And he saved me, and he said, go home. And so, you know, meaning everything I said when I prayed, you know, lordship and everything, I began to argue with him right away. Lord, you can't mean that. I'm where I'm supposed to be. No. So he sent me in the desert for a few years, and he taught me some things, and he trained me, and then he put some people in my life that would come to me and say, okay, do you need to do this? You need to do that? These folks not only convict you of some things, but they encourage you. And before I get started into the text tonight, I would like to tell you what a blessing you have been to my family. From the moment we walked in, no, I got to take that back. From the moment I walked in the door, because I came over here before my whole family, amen, men? Right? I put too many men's together for you at once. Men, is that not right, what we ought to be doing? I came over here myself. I was greeted at the door when a fellow shook my hand, gave me some information. I got my seat over there in the back with the mixed multitude like I like. See, I'm going to pick on you folks now because they always pick on me when I sit in the back. I was sharing that with them over here. They're always sitting in a mixed multitude. What's the matter with him? I got 1 foot out the door. What's the matter with him? Can I tell you that it can be a dangerous place to be? But I could tell the first time I walked in the door, and I want you folks to never change doing that. Never doubt what you're doing. Never change your plan. Follow your pastor and stay right on that path. I was loved when I walked in the door. I was loved today when I got here. Fellow gives me one of them books to take notes and everything. You're just watching over and taking care of people, and that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Folks will come, and you're ready. You're a loving church ready for them. I want you to stay there always. And you got a blessed man for a pastor. And hear what I'm going to say to you now. I have enjoyed coming over here on Sundays and sitting under the preaching of your pastor. Hear what I said? Under the preaching of your pastor. And that's something we've thrown away nowadays, submission. We threw that away. I wouldn't need that word anymore. I can do it fine by myself. No, you can't. I'll preach a message to you tonight, and I want to tell you one more thing before I get into it. God has called me to preach. I'm not Art Cole. I'm Kevin Friedman. And God has called me to preach. And God has called me to preach passages of warning. Now, that'll make a fellow unpopular. But see, in this book, God doesn't ever warn us and turn us away from something without telling us what we need to do. And if Jesus doesn't come back first, I'm going to preach a passage of warning, and I'm going to tell you what God would have us to do about it. I do get excited once in a while. I'll get excited about something. You've got all these good microphones and everything. I'm going to try and stay away from the podium here or the pulpit because that's going to be a mm-hmm. Say that going to get noisy. I want to tell you this evening, the title of the message is Wherefore Hast Thou Despised the Commandment of the Lord? You'll find that right in your Bible. I don't like to make them up. God called me to preach. He said, you just preach what's in the book. I said, I can do it. Wherefore hast thou despised, in verse 9, the commandment of the Lord? We take a look at some things, and I'm not going to go into the regular story here. We know what this is about. I'm going to back up and give you a little bit of history on it. But we know what this passage is about. Somewhere along the line, we've decided to despise the commandment of the Lord. And I'll tell you when that happens. That happens when we get full. When we get comfortable. I'm going to take you back to the passage in a minute. We're going to look at that because the Bible says it. Kevin Freeman doesn't make this up. This is what the Bible tells me. We got full and we got comfortable. We thought we could do fine all on our own. And all of a sudden, something came along and we found ourselves despising the commandments of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you where we need to end up. We need to repent and come back from that. Repent. Right out of Revelations. Remember from where you are fallen. But we repent and come back. Just like David was forgiven. As I read that passage, David was forgiven. There are consequences, but we need to repent and come back. If you would take a look, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, they tell us this. And it shall be when the Lord thy God has brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildst not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then beware. Can I tell you something that's really easy, and I'm sure you got a hold of this already, but get a hold of it with me tonight. When the Bible says to me, beware, what do you suppose I ought to do? Beware. I mean, and that's real easy. Bible says beware, I need to beware. Beware of what? It tells me exactly what to be aware of. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord. I can do it myself. I'm doing just fine. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord, and we fall. In our passage that I read you back in 2 Samuel, Nathan says to David, thou art the man. Boy, that lands right at home, doesn't it? Thou art the man. And I'm one of those kind of fellows that likes to tear the book apart a little bit. Find out what it's talking about. What it says. How did David get into this situation where he would despise the command of the Lord? Brothers and sisters, we spend our days doing, working the things that God would have us. We figure that we're following where God sends us, all these things. We're very busy. You call somebody, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Listen, what are we doing? We get on these busy paths, and all of a sudden we lose sight. We're so busy, we're not doing anything. We're so busy, we're not doing a thing. What'd you get done today? Well, I don't know. I was just so busy, I couldn't get a thing done. What? You take a look over here. You know what David was doing? Nothing. 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, and at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, besieged Ramoth, and David tarried at Jerusalem. You know what that means, tarried? Stayed home and did nothing. Now, folks, I want to tell you, those folks that come out on a Sunday night, I heard your pastor many times. Here's the faith. I'm preaching to the choir. He called me up and said, would you preach Sunday night? I thought, preach to the choir? But it's true, isn't it? Here you are. He was here Super Bowl Sunday. There was one, wasn't there? I missed that. I'm glad I missed it. By the way, I should tell you, I was thinking about this earlier. Boy, I don't know if I should mention this or not, but I see the trouble you're looking at me at, and you're kind of smiling, so I'll let you notice. The end of this month, February, I'm getting a divorce. I am. That internet nonsense is going out of my house because I like to be divorced from the world. All right? And if you give the God Lord of your lordship of your life, you get rid of some of that junk because you don't need it. You don't need that nonsense. I got to talking to a fellow and the kind of fool. Your pastor was preaching about the, what do you call it, the electronic avalanche. I told him, I said, Pastor, I almost had to get up and walk out. I said, but I didn't want to do that because I was so in favor of what you were saying and so behind it that I was afraid I was going to get carried away in the back. Man, all that junk. David's over here doing nothing. Can I ask you something? What, half the time when we're home, what are we doing? Nothing. And then you know what we do? We get out of that foolish nonsense. We'll be fiddling around with it. Oh, I'm just looking for something good. You know, I got to tell you something. Listen, I got to tell you something. I have had a computer. I don't know how long the dang things are around. I've had one for quite some time. And I know a couple other fellows that have had them for quite some time. And can I tell you something? And maybe you'll get mad at me, but I have never had one of them nonsense things pop up that people say to me, oh, they just pop up. Now, I'm blessed that I haven't had one, amen? I'm blessed, I'm sure, the hand of God, along with my computer illiteracy and the firewalls and all the technical stuff is in the way. All right, got in there, so I haven't seen one. But can I tell you something? I have to just doubt just a little bit when I hear somebody say, oh, it just popped up. Well, where'd it pop up from? Because I haven't had one for years. Well, where'd it pop up from? See, I don't like that foolish internet and all that stuff. You know why? Because you can be looking for something right. You can be looking for something good. And you can find yourself on a website that doesn't have all the proper protections that you think it ought to have. Or you can misspell something just a little bit by accident if you're not a good speller. Don't leave me alone. All right. You misspell something a little bit. And what do you got? You got some kind of foolishness up on your screen. Now, you can get rid of it real quick, but can I tell you something? Even in my computer, I haven't had any of those things. But I got one of them, we call them computer geeks. I don't say that to be nasty, because I need him, amen. He's a blessing to me. But he looked over and said, you got all this kind of junk on your computer. I said, really? I said, can you get off there? He said, well, yeah. He says, when it comes through that, that nonsense and email? David was doing nothing, right? He was at home doing nothing. He probably forgot that what we used to do is go visiting. As long as I'm a little off the track, I might as well say how much I appreciated Brother Pastor Cable's message yesterday. Didn't he challenge us? Now, you notice I got a little dark hair, and I got a little gray hair. And while he was preaching, I was kind of doing depending on who was on the upside. Because, he took us men there and he told us, about the younger men and their advice and the older men and their advice. And then all of a sudden he turned it around and was like, the older men, did you miss something? And then he was back and shouted. And then it was, and boy, he let us have pretty good. I got a verse, and I'm just going to share it with you because I was thinking of this yesterday. And I did share it with you, and I know it goes to your prayer request because I know you don't just take the prayer requests and throw them out over here. I was at a men's all-night prayer meeting on October 31st, and we had prayer requests, and we had prayer requests, and we had prayer requests. And if you put prayer requests in for that, your prayer request didn't get thrown out. It got prayed on. Amen? It got prayed on. I put this verse on it. Man, I love God's Word, and so many times, so many things, I can't read them that they don't get right to my heart. This verse here, it says, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And boy, I was thinking that when we were getting preached at yesterday. And boy, sometimes we got to step it up. We got to step it up. What happens? Sometimes we're sitting at home doing nothing. We get on the internet or the computer, fiddling around with that. It's just stealing your time, them video games. That's just stealing your time. I mean, you could lay down and take a nap and get more benefit. I tell my wife I'm studying. I am. He was at home doing nothing. What happens when you're home doing nothing? He wasn't tired. Fellas, are we tired at the end of the day when we work, put in a day's work? We're tired, we're cold, we're crabby. Everybody's head got stuck. We come home to our wife. She's happy to see us. And we want to sit down and do nothing. You're wasting your time. How about getting your Bible out? Some of the best advice I got from your pastor was to take the book of Proverbs and read one chapter every day with your family. It's practical advice to your children. And he nailed us yesterday, man, if we're not looking after the children. And I've always said this. I've known this when I started with churches. Every church is one generation away from being dead. Every church. One generation, if you're not bringing in the next generation. And those statistics he told us yesterday, man, they're true. They're true. And Pastor Seth, you nailed me yesterday too. He goes, there's Pastor Freeman over there with 11 kids. And he went through his kids and he said, boy, I wouldn't want to gain everything and lose my own kids. And you know, it just seems like you get one in every family that you're struggling over, you're praying over. You're taken to the Lord. So I appreciate your prayers for me and my family, and you keep that up. David was home doing nothing. He couldn't even sleep, so he got up and he's walking around. Is he doing anything bad? Is he doing anything sinful?
Oh, he's lazy. He's not doing anything wrong. He can get up, he can walk around. Fellows, and then comes the next thing that bugs me silly. He sees something he shouldn't ought to see. And boy, I hate that. I shared with somebody the other day. You just go to the store and try to buy something and get by a cashier. And some of these stores got no standards whatsoever. You just drive down the street and look at some big billboard sticking up somewhere. And now so the men don't feel too bad, ladies, I have always wondered this. When are the ladies going to be upset at the way they're being marketed? The ladies, you'd be amen too. When are the ladies going to be upset the way they're being marketed and trashed? Man, I hate that. I hate that. Read your Bible. Prostituting our daughters, putting them out there and getting them involved in everything like that. Well, they need this and they need that. You better take a good look at what they need and where they're going. You might find that they need some kind of a man that's going to stand up and take up the spot in the hedge for the land and fill the gap. Man, the Lord looked around. He couldn't find one. That's why it's such a blessing to come together with a church like this that has love for one another and is doing and is busy. You know what David was doing? He was sitting at home. He didn't bother going out on visitation. He didn't bother going to Hopevale, help somebody out. He didn't bother driving the van, shoveling the sidewalk, or doing it. He didn't bother doing any of that kind of stuff. He didn't bother coming to the men's prayer thing. He didn't come to the men's breakfast. He probably didn't come Sunday night. He wasn't going to go anyplace on Wednesday night either because he had some show on TV to watch. I got divorced from that years ago. Many years ago. I still remember some of the stupid stuff I used to watch. I tried only to watch the stupid stuff, so it was a pretty wide open shot. Amen. He didn't do anything wrong. This is what I want to say to you. He didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He just couldn't get any sleep, so he gets up walking around. He sees something he shouldn't see. Then he makes some more stupid mistakes at doing something with it that he should know better. And all at the same time, he hasn't really done anything wrong yet other than he's entertained a thought that he should have got rid of. And I'll tell you what, when a preacher tries to bring a message, and I try to convince you of something, he didn't do anything wrong, but he was wrong. Well, what do you mean? Well, that's ridiculous. He was wrong. Brothers and sisters, when we know better, we need to go to that higher ground. We're talking about a little bit before the message. We need to go to that higher ground. If you're doing it in doubt, it's wrong. Well, how do I know what's right and wrong? If you're doubting it, it's wrong. Give it up. This is what we're talking about. Why don't you just give it up? Why don't you just get rid of the TV set? What is this business? I'm here preaching, and I'm not going to get, I might get carried away, but preachers talking about the TV and different things like that. You pick any sinful habit that you want. Why don't we just give it up? What did Paul say? If me eating meat causes somebody to stumble, I won't eat any more meat at all, ever. Why don't we just get rid of the TV? I hear these preachers that say get rid of it for 30 days. Why don't we just get rid of it? Why don't we just stop eating? What did Daniel do? I'm not eating that meat. I'm not eating that stuff. Why? Because I know where it's been. I know what it means to everybody. And I'm not doing it. I just had a discussion with some people. I'm not going in these restaurants that are wrapped around a bar. You know what I'm talking about? It seems to be the latest things. I'm not going in there. You know, here's what I get. Well, now you're being a little legalistic. A lot of arguments to that, isn't there? The one I like the most, one fellow said, if I'm legal, that makes you illegal. Listen. Proverbs 6. I want to show you something here. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Proverbs 6 and 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. He hates them. They're abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. There's six, yea, seven. I could go on reading for a while of things that the Lord hates, that are abomination of him, that he tells us not to do, not to touch. Come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And I preached in the church this morning, we have forgotten what the unclean thing is. We have taken that away and said, that doesn't exist anymore. Oh, everything's fine. No. We've forgotten there's an unclean thing. What do they get after forming the altar? Your priests have made no difference between the clean and the unclean. And we stand before the people and tell them, and they don't know what to do because your trumpet's making an uncertain sound. Who's going to come to battle when they don't understand the sound? We've taken away the rights and the wrongs, the clean and the unclean, and people don't know what to do anymore. And I'm going to tell you today that if you're in doubt, don't do it. And don't stand around doing nothing like David because he got in trouble by doing nothing. And I'm telling you that because I love you and I know how you have loved on me when I came over here. And I'm telling you the thing that will get in your way, that will be a snare to you, is when you decide that I'm just going to do nothing. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to sit back for a little while. And I can tell you that from personal example. I'll give you a personal testimony on that. David sat back and was doing nothing. And he got himself in trouble. I'm not going to go through the whole rest of the story. Oh, I hate that. Do you hear what I said? I hate that. People do that all the time. Story. The Bible is not a story. Man, I hate that. Stumble into that nonsense. I'm not going to read you the rest of the passage. Not a story. Lord, I'm sorry. That's sacred scripture. It doesn't even say that Nathan came and told him a story. It says Nathan came. Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, didn't tell him a story. Boy, I hate that. And he says to him, thou art the man. Wow, that ain't no popular way to speak, is it? Thou art the man. That'd be like me. I know I have my finger waving already today, but that'd be like me pointing a finger to all of you. You art the man. Guess what? Brothers and sisters, we are the man. We are the man as soon as we decide to grab that easy road. Sit back and do nothing. Take a break. Yeah, that's us. Now, David did a good thing. When you get toward the end of this passage, David did a good thing. I have sinned, he said. Saul gave us the example of the bad thing. But these people, this stuff and that stuff, and somebody else's fault, and somebody else's problem. David came face to face with, he did the right thing. Can I encourage you this evening, instead of sitting around doing nothing and taking the easy road, to get yourself involved and stand up and take responsibility for your actions and your home and your church. Something else I liked that Pastor Cable said yesterday was, he got to talking about, and I wrote this down in my Bible because he got to talking about the world influencing us and the economic market and the politics. And he said, that's irrelevant. I mean, it's only one word, but there's a mouthful, isn't it? That's irrelevant. You better believe it. You better believe it. Pay attention to the stuff that God tells us. Verse 7, thus said the Lord God of Israel. Look at this. I anointed thee king. I delivered thee. Verse 8, I gave thee. I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things if it wasn't enough. He had everything he wanted. He had all the stuff, the plate, the things, the kingdom. He gave him everything he could need. And what happened? He sat back. He sat back and he got comfy. And then what happens? Next passage. Verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? What does that mean? To look down upon with disfavor or contempt, to scorn, anger, disgust, reject. My, where did that come from? This is David. Where did that come from? To look down upon with disfavor or contempt, to scorn with anger or disgust or reject. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? See that? All we have to do is get just a little sloppy. And all of a sudden we make that big mistake, but I would say to you it happened a long time before that. It happened before David decided to tarry and stay home. Some little thing, something got in there. Got some doubt going. Some kind of foolishness got in this way, maybe. Or maybe he saw something. I've heard your pastor tell you many times, be careful where you go, what you listen to, what you're watching, the company that you keep. Be careful. Be careful. It's not just that easy. But somewhere along the line, we try to plant seeds in folks for salvation. Tell them what a loving God and a saving God we have. While Satan's out there trying to throw them other seeds to get us to doubt, to wonder, to have contempt, to end up one day rejecting and saying, I'm staying home. I'm probably preaching to folks that have never stayed home from a Sunday night or Wednesday night. So then that's a good thing. But if you've done that, let me tell you, watch out. You're in that bad and dangerous area. Oh, my, my, you're not going to lose your salvation if you stay home. But you know what? You haven't reached out there to grab what God has for you. God has something for you special. He saved you. He picked you up. I don't know about you, but he picked me up out of the sin slop. He blessed me. He sent me out to the desert. And he provided for me and protected me all while I was out there, and I didn't even know any better. And then he said to me, get up out of that back row and go up front there and tell them what my book says. And then he put a little fire of his Holy Spirit in, and once in a while I get excited about it. It sure does get to my heart, and that's what I want to share with you. Because there are consequences when we do those things. When we lay back and we take it too easy, there's consequences that come into our lives. Look here in verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me. It's taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. There's a consequence. We know that David is forgiven in verse 13. But there is a consequence that doesn't change, and it's not going to be taken away. The son that they have dies. David says, when Nathan is talking to him, David gets all angry in verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man hath done this thing, shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Fourfold. Can you tell me how many sons did David lose? See? Out of your own mouth. We'll give account for every word we speak. Oh, and he quoted correctly. That was the repayment fourfold. Fourfold. And that's the hard part. There are consequences. You can be forgiven. But there are consequences. When we choose to go down these different roads, there's a consequence there. Now, sometimes these things come in by accident and we get in trouble and maybe we can say this came into David by accident. But somewhere a long time ago, it started somewhere with a little seed of doubt that he let get in. Somewhere he decided to just entertain that thought. Well, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, that's a bad enough thought right there. You know what you've done when you do that? You've taken God off the throne. You put yourself up there. I'm doing pretty good. Says, I'll raise up evil out of thine own house, in verse 11. Thus said the Lord, and I will do it before everybody. I want you to look at verse 13. And David says to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan says unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Can I tell you about the greatest, that's about the greatest verse out of this passage. God has put away your sin. He's done that for each and every one of us. It's a funny, funny thing. Some foolish people call it luck. I call it a blessing. I received a blessing before I came tonight. There's some new Christians in the church in Springville. And they called me up all excited. Brother Don, they want to do a pastor's fellowship. I don't know if Brother Don has said too much, but we had a pastor's picnic. They want to change the name already to a pastor fellowship. We had a pastor's picnic after our Sunday service. And what I shared with them was a little piece of my history. My family, when I was young, not only did we not watch the TV all the time, but we used to go off visiting. And on Sundays, we would pack a picnic lunch, and we would go to Allegheny State Park and just climb around on the rocks and throw sticks around and stuff like that. We had fun. You know what we had for lunch? Plain bologna on white bread. There was no mustard, ketchup, mayonnaise. None of that stuff. Plain bologna on white bread. Now, can I tell you, that won't kill you? That won't kill you. We got together and we had plain white bread with a slice of bologna on it. God can take simple things and make a blessing out of them. And these folks were all excited. We want to do a pastor fellowship. All right, let's do it. We want those things that God has for us. We want more, and they're all excited about it. See, they don't want to sit home and do nothing. They don't want to watch the TV. Amen. As a matter of fact, I can tell you something, too. They just had to move. Their house burned down, not this past Christmas, but right about a week before the last one, Christmas. Okay? Their house burned down. And they're very, very wise folks. They had a little bit of money saved up, and they had insurance and all that stuff. Well, long story short, they have a new house sitting where the old one was, and there's no TV in it because the insurance company paid to reimburse them for their TV, and they bought them a new TV, set it right up there in the house they were living in, right in the village of Springville, so we could minister them to them real good, amen? God provided those things. And by golly, them two young fellows that they got to wrestling around, and the remote went right through that plasma screen. They don't have any more TV. They listened to their pastor. He said, never mind that TV, dancing vegetables. I got 11 kids at home. If I don't have a pickle in my Bible, it just ain't right. Dancing vegetables. Amen. David was forgiven because he confessed right away. Hey, listen, we can go down the wrong road and make a mistake. But you know what? Where's that man that's going to stand in a spot and hedge and fill a gap? Where is he? He's going to be that fellow that when he goes down the wrong road and makes a mistake, turn around, repent and come back. I made a mistake. I'm not alone up here on that one either, am I? David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. God has put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. But because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. See, that's where we go wrong in the eyes of everybody else. And you know it, don't you? When you walk that Christian life, you know everybody's just out there watching, waiting to see you. You just slip up once. Just say something that shouldn't come out of your mouth. Just slip up once. We've given great occasion to the enemies to blaspheme our God. And when you read over and you study the Proverbs, you're going to find out, boy, you better not sit around and let that go on. Don't throw your lot in with those people. You don't even have to stand there, sit there and put up with it. Can I tell you, God has a wonderful and blessed life and calling for you folks. Why would you trash around with folks that want to trash our God? Okay, I don't know. Maybe that sounds too harsh, but why would you want to hang around with people that, trash our God? Okay? And I'm going to tell you what. You know what the problem is? Is they haven't listened and understood. These are their God, too. The Bible says, the Lord says, all souls are mine. I want them back. All souls are mine. I want them back. We don't have to hang around folks like that. You go take them the message, but you don't have to stay there. I don't know how you folks feel about some things, but in this business is goofy ideas that people got about going into bars and preaching to people in bars. I might as well talk to this plant. I get the same response when I... Well, you know what I've done too? I've taken my God and my Savior and His Holy Spirit that lives in me, and I took Him in that trashy place. I don't go for that. I don't go for that. We got to go reach those people, but we got to get them before they get in there. Or, you know, see, this world don't understand everything. It's, Satan overplays his hand so many times. See, the bar's got to close sometime, and they're coming out. The bar don't stay open forever. They're coming out. I'll bet they got some needs when they come out. All right. We give occasion to the enemies of our Lord to blaspheme and to speak against Him. We've almost done the worst thing. But so many times we only get one occasion. He says, the child that was born unto thee shall surely die. There's a consequence that doesn't go away. Some parents know what that is already. It's a bad thing. Some of us might look at families and see maybe a child that we wonder if he's spiritually dead, still lost. Can I encourage you today? Don't take your salvation for granted. I don't want to cause you to doubt, but I'm going to tell you, if you've got doubts, get it settled. Get it right. Take the time and get it right. Take the time and get it right. Don't figure everybody's saved around you. That's a lesson I had to learn kind of a hard way, too. I don't think it was your pastor, but I had a pastor who was thought enough of me to tell me. Ask somebody. Flat out. Ask them. Don't let an opportunity slip. I used to think, you know, the way people get about things nowadays, if you talk to somebody about salvation and they don't want to hear it, you make them mad. They close the door. Whether it's a physical door or some other door, they close the door and you never get a chance to talk to them again. And then I feel bad. I have ruined this opportunity. I have missed an opportunity. I have messed up an opportunity. But a very wise pastor said to me, Kevin, you have not. The soul is already dead, dying and going to hell. You haven't made it any worse. And that's just a little bit of comfort. It's not a lot. But it's just a little bit of comfort. Okay, I didn't mess it up. You know, I mean, you got to use a little common sense. You know what I'm talking about, right? But you didn't make it worse. You got to ask. Even your kids. I saw some goofy survey, and it could be pretty accurate, but it says that the highest percentage of person that leads their children to the Lord is parents at 35%. Pastors were down around 12 and 14%. Parents, 35%. That's over Sunday school teachers and everything else. Parents, 35% your kids. Parents, what did God give you those kids for? To raise them and bring them to the Lord. Our churches need them. Our churches need them. And still, did you hear those percentages yesterday? Wasn't it like 80%? Even those serving in churches, when they hit that age, they're gone. You know, I sometimes get excited and I goof around some jokes when I'm preaching, but that's the serious battle that we're in here for. The lives of our kids, the lives of people around us that are dying and going to hell because they're not going to get the good news. I like to preach. A lot of times if you hear me preach, I always bring up this ambassador thing. We're ambassadors in a foreign country. Some of us need to take a look around and get a divorce, and I don't mean husbands from wives. I mean we need to get a divorce from some things in this world and get to serving the Lord and not give our enemies occasion to blaspheme. And there's people that are lost and going to hell because they're getting all these goofy stories and all these people that get this whatever religion, wearing on their shirt, business, waving flag of some kind of nonsense and some sort of, what are they called, interpretation in their hand, and run into somebody's door with a bunch of rounded off foolishness that isn't going to save anybody. And then we'll come along with a King James Bible. The Bible that we believe is the Word of God, is the truth. A Bible that if you read back here in Hebrews, Chapter 11 talks about by faith. The Bible that tells us about folks that were blessed by faith, 34, 33, and 36, when you begin to read these things of people that stood for what they believed in. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain by the sword. Do you hear all that? They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And get verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. These are the ones that lived by faith. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The world was not worthy because they lived by faith. And so when you find yourself wanting to sit back and do nothing, can I tell you that sin is waiting at the door? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, that's what the Lord tells Cain. People usually get worried when I go back to Genesis. He says in verse 7, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou dost not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. If thou doesn't do well, beware, sin lies at the door. When you decide to get lazy and just hang back and do nothing, and you start paying the consequences for that, now I can't sleep. Now I got to get up and wander around. Beware, because sin lies at the door. And there's consequences to that. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. But the consequences remain the same. I believe I've said enough. I believe that when we get into our lifestyle and we get lazy and sloppy and we let things go, the worst thing we do is give occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme against him. I believe that's one of the greatest things we can do wrong. I mean, you can put that with a list because they're all the same. There is none greater or less. I don't have to go into what David did. That's not the point of the message. The message is, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Where all of a sudden do we despise the commandments of the Lord? We live in a world that wants to say, never mind all that stuff, it's okay, everything's fine. God's directions are clear. There is a clean and an unclean. I don't like gray. I got a gray suit. I don't like gray. Oh, I guess you could say that there are some things the Bible doesn't speak clearly about. I don't believe it. I believe that I have not yet understood exactly what it's telling me. Can you imagine? I mean, is God not certain about some things? And did he leave something out of my Bible? No. Now, see, there's right and wrong. And that's why Paul says, if my eating meat causes somebody to stumble, I won't eat anymore. And that's why I say to you, one of the greatest things that we do wrong is give the enemies of the Lord the chance to blaspheme against him. And I would encourage you this evening, don't follow this example. Don't be lazy. Don't settle back. Don't get too comfortable. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. Beware, lest thou forget. See, all of a sudden we'll forget. God can put away your sin. But you got to come. You got to come back. One more verse. Take a look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I give you the invitation this evening. I'm not going to sing. If you got some of those moments when you're getting lazy, and you're just going to hang back, I'm going to take it easy. I got everything I need. I'm fine. I'm doing okay. Can I tell you to beware? The Bible says, beware, lest thou forget. See, when we get fat and we get comfortable, we forget. Pastor Seth, would you maybe lead an invitation while you're singing something? Amen. You guys can do that real swell here.